let it out, Brooks. It's just,
some of you just want to sing along.
I'm being ready for 2012 to be a great year, to walk in God's best. Turn your neighbor and say, come on. All right, this is going to be a great year. We're excited about what God's doing. If you missed last week's sermon, I really invite you to go back and go online and listen to the first part of this series that we started last week on how to enter the new year. And we talked about how to do this and very practical steps on how to get the best out of this year that God has for you in your life. And I tell you, there's some powerful truths on there, and I want you to go back and listen to that if you missed it. Today, before we get into our lesson, I want to challenge you. If you have not read this book, Gentes Franklin has a book called The Fasting Edge, one of his newest books out. He's got another book he put out a couple years ago on fasting. He has been one of the leading authors in fasting over the last 5 years. He's really helped bring back a fasting revival to the church, and the church across America especially is embracing this 21 days of fasting to start off the year to see God restore and bring things back to our lives. It has become kind of a lost art. I remember as a kid, people fasting and praying, but we don't see a lot of that anymore. And so I love the fact that Gentes has really spent a lot of time writing and teaching on this, and I've gained a lot of just a fresh understanding through his teaching on this. And we had a bunch of books here in the first service, and they all went like hotcakes. And so now we have a sign-up sheet. We'll have some more in this next week. We'll go buy some more and order them. You'll have a hard time finding them in town. You may be able to find them somewhere, but they're just about out everywhere. So if you want these, you can sign up in the back, and we'll make sure and order those for you. You don't have to pay today. You can pay when you pick those up. Those are $15. And if you don't have money, it's okay, too. We'll make sure and get one in your hand, okay? It's called The Fasting Edge, and make sure you sign up if you'd like to have one of these books. I just tell you, as we go into our 21 days of fasting, this will be a great companion for you to read. Today's sermon, really, I got out of the first chapter of this book. I read the first chapter, and I was like, man, that's a great preach right there. So I'm going to preach inspired by that first chapter in the book today. And I want to talk to you about the thought of how to stay sharp this year. How to stay sharp this year. How many of it's important that we stay sharp? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you sharp? And I'm not talking about dress. Some of you are a little sharper than others this morning. I'm talking about sharp. Are you dull? Are you dull or are you sharp? There's a story about two lumberjacks, and the story of these lumberjacks goes like this, that there was an older young lumberjack who had been there for many years, and the man, even though he was still considered a strong beast of the lumberjack field, he had been there for many years, and he was nearing the age of retiring as a lumberjack, but all the guys knew him as the King Lumberjack King. I mean, he was it. It's like the lion had their tribe, you know, the lion king of the tribe. These lumberjacks had their king, and this guy had been the king for many years. He was the top lumberjack this company had ever had. And one of the times he went to work, there was a young man who came in. And this young man, he was ripped. He was P90X to the max. He had been lifted. You could tell this man was a very well-cut man. He's been in great shape. And he goes, I want to take on the king. I want to become the new king. You're getting close to retired. And so I'll tell you what, he put out a challenge to the older lumberjack. He said, I want to challenge you to a match. He goes, tomorrow when we go out to do our job, he goes, I'm going to challenge you. We're going to see on our shift, who can cut down the most trees on our shift? And so as they went out to cut out the trees, they started off at the same time, and they went all day long. And the young, strong lumberjack, he was just taking these big swings. I mean, the power of a batter on steroids. You know what I'm talking about? Just like that. Not to name any names. But anyway, Mark McGuire couldn't have done any better. But still, we know. They were cutting this tree. He's cutting these trees, and as he cut one down, he'd quickly go to the next one and start cutting again, and then go to the next one and keep going. He was just going from one tree to the next, cutting them down. And the old lumberjack, he was cutting also with precise and the technique that he had gained over the years, and very smooth in his swing and approach. But his approach was a little bit different. When he would cut down a tree, he would actually sit down and take a break for about 10 minutes. And so he would cut down a tree and sit down and rest for 10 minutes. And he'd get back up and cut down another tree and sit down and rest for 10 minutes. And at the end of the day, it became very apparent that the older lumberjack had just done a lot more trees. His stack was so much more than this other young lumberjack. And finally, the young guy said, hey, I just give up. There's no way I can catch up. But you got more cut already than I can finish out in this shift. And he goes, how did you do it? He goes, I didn't stop. I didn't take one break. He goes, I kept going, cutting from tree to tree to tree to tree. He goes, how did you do it? How did you beat me? I can't understand. A man your age can beat me with my strength and youth. And the old lumberjack said to you, man, he goes, it's all in technique. And he goes, I know, but you took 10-minute break in between each tree that you cut down, and I kept going. He goes, no, that wasn't a 10-minute break, really. He goes, that was 10 minutes to sharpen my blade. And he would spend every time that 10 minutes resharpening his blade, his edge. Therefore, he was able to do a lot more. You see, I wonder how many of us have really lost our edge. How many of us have really become dull? We're out there swinging away. We haven't lost our passion or zeal, but we've become dull in our spirit. We've become dull in our things of the Lord. And it's not careful. We can be out there be swinging away, and we're not really making a lot of progress because we've lost our sharpness. And so what I love about this fasting that we're going through, the fasting will allow us to resharpen our edge, resharpen who we are, and to tool in, to say, God, I'm ready to refocus in on who you called me to be. See, the problem is that many are swinging away, but we just have a dull axe. So how do we walk sharper this year? Let me give you some things real fast. Number one, we had already talked about it again today, fasting. Fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer makes us slow down and focus and resharpen who we are in our lives. It addresses the areas we have allowed to become dull. See, when you fast and you pray, it makes you focus in upon the areas you've allowed to become dull in your life and say, God, I'm needing you to resharpen me in these areas. I want to give you our text. It's in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1 through 6. Some of you maybe you've heard this story before. Others of you maybe never heard this story before. It's a great story found in the Old Testament about Elisha the prophet, and he was there having all these prophets come in. He was kind of had a prophet school set up, and they were coming in to be mentored. But they were coming in. They were coming in so many that they could not fit them all in. It's kind of a good problem to have, isn't it? Let's pick up the story and find out what's going on. So the company of the prophets said to Elisha, look, the place where we meet with you is just too small for us. So let us go down to the Jordan River where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to meet. And he said, go. And then one of them said, won't you please come with us, your servants? And so he said, I will. He went with them. They went to Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Oh, no, my Lord, he cried out. It was borrowed. The man of God asked, where did it fall? When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick off the tree. He threw it in there and made the iron float. Lift it out, he said, and the man reached out his hand and took it. This is a story of the axe head, and this is something we find here that it's kind of cool because they're here trying to do ministry, they're here trying to do more for God, and this young man has got a borrowed axe, the scripture says, it's cutting down his tree. Can you imagine what's going on? He's here just whoosh, 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 out into the Jordan River, and he loses his axe head. Now, this is a very much an important issue because you got to realize the day that we're talking about. And this time, he couldn't just go down to Walmart and buy a new one. He couldn't just go down to Lowe's and get what you wanted. This is to go find one was going to be much journey and a much money that he probably didn't have. These were treasure tools that were passed down from generation to generation. They were how they made their living. It was how they cooked their meals. These tools were used for survival, so they were very much a very, very precious thing. So for us, it doesn't seem like a big deal to lose an axe head in the river. But to these men, this was their life, and especially one that was borrowed, you know. Imagine if someone trusted you with the, here you go, but don't break it, man. I gotta have this for my family. I gotta have this to build a house for my family, to cut wood for my family to stay warm in the winter. This is what I use, you know. And so this is a very much entrusted. When someone let you borrow this thing, it was like, you know, you were taking care of something that was very valuable to them. And so he loses this thing out into the river. And this isn't just like, you know, a story of looking out there and say, oh, there it is. I can see it at the bottom. No, the Jordan River is a very muddy river. And you can't see the bottom of the river. And so for this to be out there, it wasn't like he could spot it where it was at. And so we got to realize the context of what's happening here. This man had the shame that was going to follow him losing a borrowed axe and returning it. See, everyone wants to convince you this in your life, that things that you have in your life, that they are gone and they are sunk and they're not to be brought back to life. The enemy wants to tell you just one thing in your life, that the passion for God, when you lose it, the fires went out, or if you had things and dreams, some hopes,
some vision in your life, and you've allowed those things to go away, and it seems like they've just sunk in the bottom of Jordan River. It might as well be tied to a metal weight and just cast over the bridge into a river, because it seems like they are never coming back. Those things will never resurface back in my life. This is what I love about the story, because it talks about that even God has the power to bring back things to float back into our life. They're not gone forever. See, we're going into a corporate time of fasting together to regain our edge. We're going into a corporate time of fasting together. God will allow things to float back up that have been sunk in our life. You see, because I believe through this fasting that your prayer life is going to take a priority again. You're going to get your edge back. I believe that your alone time with God is going to get its edge back. I believe that your Bible reading is going to get its edge back. I believe that your worship is going to get its edge back. I believe that your praise is going to get its edge back. I believe that your passion for the things of God are going to get your edge back. See, this is what happens when you precisely say, God, I am focusing upon you and I'm going after you. The second thing is simply this. You got to confess that you've lost it. That's right to confess, you know what? I've allowed the fire to go out. I've allowed the passion to die. I've allowed other things to come in and take priority in my life, and I don't hunger for the things of God that I used to. You know what? It's okay to admit that. It's okay to say, you know what? I'm just kind of going through the motions here. I love God, and I know I need to be in church, and I know I need to serve Him, but I've allowed the passion to die. It's okay to admit that. You see, the young man, he had to go to the prophet, and he had to admit to him, I've lost it, man. I've lost the thing that I borrowed that sunk in the Jordan River. See, he went to someone spiritual to confess it. It's important we know this. You see, if you have a passion in your life, it becomes transferable. Do you realize that? Passion in your life becomes transferable. When you're passionate about the things of God, it affects your family. It affects those around you. I love the fact that my wife and I, we obviously are doing the fast for 21 days, but we have not asked any of our children to do the fast. But on their own, they've come to us and said, we want to fast. We want to give up things. And they've come up with ideas of things they want to give up. And from 9 years old all the way to 12 and 14 and 18, they said, you know what? These are the things that we want to give up in our life. We've like God, and they're different. They're not all doing the same thing. They're different things. And they say, you know what? I just want to give this up. And it makes my heart just like, God, I'm so thankful that my children have a passion about the things of God in their life. And why is that? Because their mom and dad have a passion about the things of God in their life, and it spills over. You see, when we're passionate, it spills over to our children. And let me tell you this. If our passion spills over, so does our lack of passion. Oh, that'll preach right there. You know what I'm talking about. So does our lack of passion. It'll spill over. See, when you lose your passion, that'll also fall over into your children's life. Not only will they lose the passion, but they'll lose it to a higher level degree. See, I believe this. If you have a passion for God in your life, your children will have even a greater passion. And if you've lost a passion, your children will even lose it greater. This happens that way. It seems to go that way. And so I am challenging you as your pastor that you got to allow God to refocus your life and reignite the passion in your life. It's okay to go somewhere and say, you know what, I've missed it, man. I've lost it. Go to a life group if you're involved in that and tell one of your great leaders, you know what, I've allowed the fire to die in my heart. I've allowed the passion to weaken. Doesn't mean you don't love God. It doesn't mean you're a sinner going to hell. But this simply means, you know, I've allowed other things to come in and take away my focus. Go to somebody. It doesn't have to be a group leader. It can be a pastor. It can be one of the other pastors. It could be to someone who is spiritual in your life that you know. That, you know what? This person is a spiritual, mature person, and they've got the fire of God in their life, and they've got the passion for God in their life. And I can go to them as a friend and say, you know what? I've lost that. I want you to help me get it back. I want you to keep me accountable. I want you to pray for me. He went to the prophet and said, I've lost it. He confessed that he's lost it. See, Galatians 6:1 says this. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken of any trespass, you who are what? Spiritual. Restore such one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So that's what it's saying. If you consider yourself, you say, Pastor, I haven't lost my passion. Pastor, I consider myself a spiritual person. Then I applaud you. Way to go. Yes, you're maturing. Then go to somebody who can help somebody who lost it, okay? Because that's our responsibility. If somebody's lost it, then they come to you. Your responsibility is to help restore them back to a sharp edge, getting them back to the walking as sharp as they can walk in the things of God, supporting them. You notice Elijah did not discipline this young man. He did not scorn this young man. I can't believe you lost that man's axe. You know what this is going to look like to our church? You know what it's going to look like? My name, one of my students lost. You know, he could have went out there and really scorned this guy. Could have really just really gave him a lecture. But he didn't do that. You see, as those who are called to restore, help people get a spiritual edge back, we need people who are going to be spiritual according to the Word of God. Because the Word of God says spiritual people understand that when someone goes to them and says, I need to be restored, they go to their knees and they pray. They don't go to their phone and they talk. Big difference. So if you know that you're going to go to your phone and talk, then we don't consider you spiritual and don't go helping anybody else, okay? We're looking for those that are going to drop to their knees and say, I'm going to help this person be restored. I'm going to help this person reach out and get back to the place that God has for them in their life. It's a place he's called us to go, a place he's asking all of us to go. I love this about the story. It says the prophet took a stick and broke it off in the tree, and he touched the water. Broke off the branch from the tree, and he threw it in the water. We find out, remember teaching you that in the Old Testament, it reflects what the New Testament, our relationship with God, and that many times it's more than what we just see, a story of someone breaking off a tree, but it's symbolic about our relationship with the Father, our relationship with Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And we see the tree is often used as symbolic of what? Of the tree of life and also Calvary, okay? And so let me just tell you this. One touch of Calvary can bring back the things that are dead in your life. One touch of Calvary. One saying, God, I'm going to focus in on you. God, I'm going to go back to your passion again in my life. I'm going to rekindle. One touch from the tree of Calvary. One touch will allow things that you thought were lost, vision you hoped and you had left behind, things that had, you thought, you know what, I was so passionate. I love that our students come back so focused and they come back so full of passion. Why is that? Because they spent 5 days in the dome with 45,000 people. And they were focused day in the morning. They were focused in the afternoon. They were focused at night on the things of God. And they just can't help but change. They got away from their influence of people they're around normally. And they get away from the distraction of a job and school. And they got focused in upon God for 3-4 days there. It impacted them. It changed them. So this is what fasting does to us when we say, God, all right, I'm going to narrow my focus back down. God, I've allowed other things to come in. My job, and I've allowed people, and I've allowed things and pressures. I've got to take some time, and I've got to slow down and say, God, what still is still the most important thing? I've got to put my eyes upon Jesus. I've got to put my eyes upon the Lord and say, God, I'm going after you. You see, one touch of Calvary will rise again to things that have been sunk in your life. It says, when the stick touched the water, the iron axe head began to float. Turn to your neighbor and say, iron don't float. Go out there and get you a bar of iron. Throw it in the water. It's not going to float. True iron's not going to float. There's a reason why the scripture says iron. We want to make sure you know this is not a plastic axe head. Just in case you want to have a theory of why it floated. The Bible's letting you know this is iron, okay? It doesn't float. This is a miracle. That this iron would float back up after the stick is thrown into the water. See, God wants to take things in your life and to bring them back to the surface. But I love the fact that this iron floated back up. And let me ask you this question. Could God have caused that iron to do a double back somersault out of the water and land back on the handle of that axe? He could have, couldn't he? I mean, if he's going to make the thing float and swim back over to the shore, why couldn't he just make the thing get out and do flips and land back on the handle? Because, see, God, the prophet said, you go down there and you reach out and pick it up and bring it to you. See, God was doing his part, and he was saying, oh, now you got to do your part. And see, this is what I love about fasting, because fasting and prayer allows you and I to do our part, saying, God, I'm going to focus in, get back into laser precision, focusing upon what's right in my life. I can do this. I can fast and I can pray. I can take some things that I really like doing, and for 21 days, I can refocus my priorities and give some things up so I can let you know how serious I really am. I can really let you, God, know that even though I'd rather be watching TV right now, I'm going to take time to give that up. Or if God's calling you, some people to maybe Facebook, you know what? You're on Facebook 24/7, and God says, you know what? Put that down. Just spend some time going after me. Others is food. Other people are doing different things. Whatever God is asking you to give up for 21 days. That's what we want you to do. Be obedient to that. And it's saying, God, I am laying aside something that I really like to do, and say, God, I want more of you. That's what I can do. And so when I do my part, then God makes the axe head float. And then God takes things in your life that have sunk to the ground, dreams that you've lost, passion that you've lost, and he allows those things to rise back up to the surface. Because he's the God of restoration. He's the God that brings back up things that have been lost 5 and 10, 20 years. You think, there's no way I could ever get that back. And God will bring those things back. But it comes when you do your part. He told his disciples when they asked him, why couldn't we see some answers to prayers in our life? We were trying to do some miracles and try to do things. And he said, this comes only sometimes. Certain things only come through the power of prayer and fasting, not just prayer alone. And see, there's something that comes when you pray and fast. It's like, it's like taking a spark and throwing the gasoline on it. It's just something that ignites the two, that catches the heart of God, but says, God, I'm serious. Not only am I believing, not only am I praying and confessing, but now I'm giving up something that's dear to me to let you know I am serious about my relationship with you. I'm serious about the things I'm praying about. I'm serious about my refocusing on you and my relationship. There's something that ignites in our spirit when we give up something and say, God, I want to start the year off right. I want to focus in right. The fasting is what we can do. Making iron swim, that's God's part. Fasting helps you stay sharp. You see, there's a reason why we got to be sharp. There's a reason why we got to walk sharp this year. You know why? Because he's ready for you to cut out addiction in your life. He's ready for you to cut out the powers of the enemy that's trying to place a hold upon you. He's ready to cut out the negative thoughts that have tried to attach themselves to you. So he's wanting us to cut things out that are weighing us down. Hebrews 12:1 says that we are to, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us what? Strip off every weight that slows us down. He wants us to get rid of this thing. This is why I got to be sharp, so I can get rid of things that are slowing me down and weighing me down. He says, especially the sin that so easily what trips us up. No wonder we lose our focus. And let us run with what? Endurance, the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes upon Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. See, when I fast and I pray, I'm putting with laser focus, God, I want to get back to the things of you in my life. I'm laying aside. I got to get sharp, because if I get sharp, I can easily cut away things. When I'm not sharp and I try to cut away addiction, it's a hard process. It's a lot more painful process. You ever try to cut something with a dull knife, a dull saw? It's a painful process. It's not an easy process. But when something's sharp, man, it's quick and it's easy. And that's what happens when you become sharp in the Lord. You can easily cut away things that are tying you down, things that are bringing you down, things that are trying to cause addiction in your life, things that are trying to cause you to be weighed down. When you're sharp in the Lord, man, you can sever those things very fast in your life. But when you allow your spiritual walk to get dull, then it's like, man, I can't hardly get rid of this thing. It takes me longer to get rid of it. He wants us to get rid of it. Therefore, the only way to get your spiritual edge back is to fast and to pray. Fasting and prayer cries out to God that we are seeking his anointing in all that we do. We're believing for God during this fast. And what are you believing for God during this fast? What are the things? If you haven't made a list yet, I challenge you before tomorrow, sit down, make a list. What are the things that you're needing God to do in your behalf? What are the things that only you need? Maybe it's the answers to prayer that maybe you've been praying about. Maybe a sickness in a body, in your body or your family member's body. Maybe it's a financial miracle. Maybe it's an answer to prayer or something you've just been praying about, you need direction in. Maybe it's a restored relationship that you say, what am I going to do? What are you going to pray and believe about? I say, narrow it down. Make it very clear. Write the vision down. See what it is so we can run with it and pray about it. Say, God, this is what I'm believing you for. Then make out a list. What are the things you're wanting to do? God, I'm wanting to rekindle the passion for you in my life. God, I want to rekindle, Lord, more of you in this area of my life. The things that you're hungry for God, list those things out. God, I want to grow in this area. If it's a better understanding of your word, if it's a deeper walk with you every day, if it's a more closer prayer walk with you, God, throughout the year, if it's a learning to worship you in a way that I never had before, taking me to a deeper level, what are you asking God for? Be precise. Don't just pray. You know, don't just pick a handful of corn and throw it at the barn, as they used to say, you know. Be precise. What are you really shooting for? Narrow it down. God, these are the things that I'm really looking at. These are the things that I'm wanting to do in my life, and I'm wanting you to do in my life. And then begin to pray and fast about those things. And I tell you what, Every time, last year when we did this, we had people time and time again said, Pastor, I can't believe these things I've been praying about are coming true. I was like, it's really working. It works. I just tell you, it works. Prayer works, and when you put fasting with prayer, it increases the anointing that goes behind it, and things change. Strongholds get broken, and things begin to change. So what are you fasting for? What are you going to do? I've asked all of our church family who would. I've asked you as your pastor to consider fasting something and participate in this fast. Like I said before, some are going to give up certain types of food. Some are going to give up Facebook. Some are going to give up TV. Some are giving up different things. Whatever it is that God's asking you to do, it needs to be something that's close to you. It may not mean anything to me, but if it means something to you, then great. It's all right. God will lead you and give up something that's close to you that you know is something that you would like you do and enjoy doing on a regular basis so that you it's a sacrifice to you when you don't do it. And you say, God, I'm giving this up because I want you to know right during this time, during these 21 days, I'm precise. Getting right there. God, I want to know. I want to know more of you, and I want more of you in my life. I've asked our church body to consider, and I really want you to do this, too, just to listen to Christian and worship music during the next 21 days. I'm not against all kinds of music. There's lots of great music out there, and I'm a fan. If you know me closely, you know I'm a fan of all kinds of music, okay? There's a lot of great music out there. But during the next 21 days, I just ask you to go with me on this journey and say, God, I'm just going to listen to worship music. Or I'm going to listen to Christian music in my car, in my home. Whenever you use it, I would have, now I know some of you may work in a workplace where you can't change the dial, okay? You can't change the station. But when you have control over it, control it and put it through the dial. So you know what? I just want to focus in. I'm going to put some worship music on for the next 21 days, put some Christian music on. It's like, God, I want to focus in. I'm going to pray. Maybe on your way to work every day and on your way home, you're going to take time to say, God, I'm giving this day to you. God, I'm focusing upon you. On the way home, God, I'm focusing in on my family. God, what you're doing in my family, in my life. Just take time to pray to the Lord every day. Not just fasting, but put time in prayer behind what you're doing. What are you going to pray about? What do you believe in God for? I'm going to ask the musicians to come this morning. I'll tell you, I'm excited about what God's going to do during this fasting time in the next 21 days. I believe that this is going to be an increased anointing in our church, increased anointing in your life, answer the prayers. Last year when I taught on this and I did it for the first time, there were so many who never had fasted before, did it for the first time, and it does something look at me like I was kind of crazy. Pastor, you want me to do what? 21 days? I don't know if I can do it or not. But they stuck out in faith, tried it, and it's like, man, this really worked. This is really a life-changing event. I believe today God is still wanting to do great things in our midst. He's wanting to do things, and it's going to come through some people who are ready to pray and fast. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads just for a minute. Here today, you say, Pastor, you're talking about staying sharp, but first of all, before I can even think about fasting, first of all, I just need to make a decision that I'm going to be a Christ follower. Maybe you're here and you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And today you say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to pray that prayer asking God to come into my life, forgive me my sins, put me back into right relationship with you. Today, with nobody looking around but me, maybe you've prayed that prayer a long time ago. Maybe you say, I've been so far away from God, and today I want to come back and I want to renew that commitment to Him. Whether you never prayed that prayer or maybe you want to renew that commitment to the Lord, can you just raise your hand if that's you? I won't embarrass you at all, but I want to give you a chance if you're here. I want to make sure. Thank you. Anybody else today says, thank you. Anybody else want to join these? Thank you. Anybody else today say, I'm ready today, Pastor. This is my day. I want to join these three who's raised their hand. Say, I'm ready today. Thank you. This is it, man. This is how we start the year off right here. Say, you know what? I'm making my relationship right with Jesus Christ. Thank you. Anybody else is ready to say, I'm ready. If you haven't raised your hand yet, I want to give you one more chance. Raise it right now. Say, I'm ready to make that decision to go after Christ. Raise it one more time if you haven't done it yet. We're going to say this prayer because we have several who raised their hands this morning. As Christians, we're going to say this prayer with you, but especially those who raised your hands, I want you to say this prayer out loud, and we're going to say it with you. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. From this day forward, I will live for you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah.
prayed that prayer for the first time, before you leave today, stop by the information booth in the back. We've got a packet. It's got a free Bible and some other information that tells you next steps, what you need to do. This is just the beginning, okay? It's not the end. It's just the beginning of a journey in Jesus Christ that he has for you. You need to be with people who are going to support you and help you in your decision to follow after Christ. If you don't have a church home, you need to be somewhere. We'd love to have you here. Come and get connected. We'd love to help you in your new journey. How many people today, with all of us looking around, say, Pastor, I want to be sharp. I want God to resharpen my edge over the next 21 days. I don't want to just get back what I had. I want to go beyond where I've ever been. You hear what I'm saying? I don't want to get back with what I had. I want to go beyond where I've ever been. So that's what I'm praying. God would not just take us where we used to be, but God would take us to a place we've never been. Sharper than we've ever been. More focused than we've ever been. If you believe that today and you want to make it the cry of your heart, I invite you to stand on your heart, stand on your feet today and say, God, today I'm ready. God, I'm ready. With all of my heart, with all of my mouth, with all of my spirit, I'm saying, God, I am going forward. Come on, let's sing it.
I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. What a moment. You have brought me to such a freedom. I have found in you, you're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not going back, I'm moving ahead. Here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. With all power in your hands, you have given me a second chance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, yeah, 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 yeah. Not going back, moving ahead, here to declare to you. Past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, not going back. I'm moving ahead. Here to declare to you. My past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, not going back. Moving ahead, here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward, forward.
Come on, declare it this morning.
You made all things.
Come on, raise your hands and sing it.
You make all things new. Yes, you make all things new. And I will follow you forward.
Lord, come on, Father, we lift up your name today. Father, we lift up your name today, Lord, with our hands raised. We say, Father, right now that our lives are surrendered to you. Lord, I pray right now of every person who's making a commitment over the next 21 days to fast and pray in their life. God, I pray right now, Lord, as they leave here today, that God, there's a determination. God, there's a laser focus that is coming alive in their life. That God, you're allowing them, Lord, to say, God, I want more of you in my life. God, I'm reprioritizing my life to focusing upon the things of you. And God, I believe that the next 21 days are going to be a life-changing event. The next 21 days are going to be life-changing for the people of Destiny Church. And God, you're going to take not only our lives, but our church to a different level in you, God. Increase the anointing, God. Increase your glory. Increase your passion. Increase your fire alive in our life. And God, it comes as we passionately go after you.
Come on, and I will follow you forward.
Now, one more time, declare it.
Oh, Lord, you make all things new, and you make all things new, and I will follow you forward. Oh, Lord, you make all
your hands together.
Hallelujah, Lord.
We're quickly today. Remember, if you want to sign up, want to pick up this book, if you'd like me to order you one, stop there in the back and sign up before you leave today. God bless you. We're so glad you're here. What an awesome day today. 21 days is going to be life-changing. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm believing God to change my life and your life. God bless you.